I want to share with us tonight. The Lord just put a word in my brain box. Just sort of popped something there, and it's just the simple word heritage. And the Bible says a lot about heritage. So it talks about the heritage of the Lord and the blessing of God upon His people. And there is something that God says in His word about heritage that has to do with nations. It has to do with churches. It has to do with families. God is into family. God is into personal families. God is into the family of God. God is into heritage. God is into the nation of Australia. I want to pray, and then we're going to just touch a few things, just a few historical things about our heritage. Let's pray. Father, tonight we ask you that you would come by the power of your Spirit, and that this would be exciting to us. Holy Spirit, you said that you would come and you would breathe upon your word. Come breathe. Would you come breathe? Would you come breathe tonight upon your word? Oh Lord, quicken our ears to hear. Let us be stretched out. After this day of celebration with our mothers and feasting and all that we might have done this day, let us not sort of lull off right now. Let us be stirred up. Come, Holy Ghost, stir us. Stir us. Stir us in the depths of our heart. In Jesus' name we ask it. I want to read a scripture to start with, and it comes from, don't worry about turning to it because I'm going to turn to several, but in Revelation chapter 5, and just starting at verse 8, the scene is set around the throne of God, and there is, you know, 24 elders, there is a scene that sort of, around the throne of God, where people are declaring stuff before God. They're worshipping Him. They're declaring something incredibly wonderful. And in the midst of this, there's something to do with some books being opened and all of that sort of thing. And let me just read it. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. That's Jesus, of course. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood, and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nations." Let me say that again. You were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. People, men, women, boys, girls. He purchased them with his blood. You have made them to be a kingdom of priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. I want us to do a sort of a really quick understanding thing here, and it's just simply this. When Jesus came, he preached, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." He said, "The kingdom is near you." And he said, "The kingdom will be in you." So Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. This kingly reign, his kingdom. And when Jesus was crucified on the cross and was raised to life, and then ascended to the right hand of God the Father, from where he's going to come again, he made these statements. He said to us, "The same works that I do, you will do in my name, because I go to the Father. And I'll send to you my Spirit, the Holy Spirit." How awesome is that? I mean, he didn't say this just to 11 disciples that were left. Do you know Judas betrayed him? He didn't just say it to them. Do you know, he was saying it to all of his children. He was saying it to these people that qualified to be a kingdom of priests who are going to reign upon the earth. Now, we know that we're going to die and we're going to heaven and we're going to be with Jesus in that glorious place. But here, this scene is talking about the earth. This scene is talking about the kingdom here and now. This scene is talking about the church age, the age that we live in. the age from when the Holy Ghost was given, the age from the day of Pentecost. It's talking about now, and the Holy Spirit is in us. And I want us to understand something about heritage. You guys, if you want to talk, you can go out the back. Don't disturb people. That'd be really good. I'd really appreciate that. But I want us to really understand something here. What we need to understand is simply that God births something into the depths of our heart that has to do with a heritage. We are not just people who live for today. We're not people who just live because we've got let me put it another way. Today we live in a culture and a society that is an instant culture. And we have little thought to the past or the future. We fail to realize that we're here today because there were past generations. We fail to realize that we are here today experiencing what we're experiencing today because we have a heritage. Not just a mum and dad that are a physical mum and dad, but a spiritual heritage that may have included our mums and dads, but may not have included our mums and dads and the rest of our families. But it's a spiritual heritage, and it's closer and it's thicker than flesh and blood. It's now not bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. It's now spirit of his spirit. There is something about the kingdom of God. There's something about the family of God. It's a heritage that comes from God. And in Australia, I don't know whether you know this, but this day, 400 years ago, a man discovered, read about him in a second, but just to give you a brief, a man discovered, he set out in his little sailing vessel. He was an absolutely committed man, a committed Christian. He set out to find the great South Land. When he set out in his little ship, And he came into uncharted waters. No one had ever come into this area before. And he settled on another island. But he thought it was the tip of this great South Land. And he called this great South Land Terra Australis, De Espiritu. He had a commission from God to take the gospel to this great South Land. He had a commission. He was a committed Christian. And out of his commitment, he named our nation. Now, history, I've got lots of stuff here from Manning Clark, from a few encyclopedias and stuff like that. Manning Clark is one of Australia's foremost historians, Professor Manning Clark. And some of the stuff that you can find is absolutely incredibly awesome about our heritage in this nation. And about the fact that God saw that there was going to come a place in time where he was going to place upon this land, which is taking nothing away from our indigenous brothers and sisters who were here thousands of years earlier, but he was going to place on this piece of earth that we call Australia, he's going to place here a prophecy, a prophetic heritage, and it was going to be that this land was going to be the great South Land of the Holy Spirit. And he was going to do something about fulfilling his word that we sang about tonight, and that God would give us the nations as our inheritance. And I want to tell you, today, if you can see it and perceive it, every one of you that loves Jesus today, every one of you who knows him as your Lord and Savior, you are not isolated here trying to survive in your own little world. You have got an incredible heritage. You were born in this nation to the parents that gave you birth, whose parents gave them birth, whose parents gave them birth, and you have an inheritance here. And the inheritance is more than flesh and blood. It's spirit of his spirit, and it has to do with this land called the land of the Holy Ghost, the land of the Holy Spirit. I believe with all my heart that God has reserved this nation for this last end days great outpouring. I believe that with all my heart. I've travelled in many countries, ministering in many places. And it's something that happens out of the heart of Australians when they're in another place, preaching the gospel and ministering for Jesus, there is something that the people find and they discover about Australians. You see, you can go to America. We lived in America for a couple of years and travelled all over America and had amazing sort of, just got amazing responses from people. Not just because we had Aussie dialects, you know, Aussie accents. But there was something that happened there. And Americans tend to preach the stuff that people like to hear. The feel-good stuff. The stuff that sort of like makes you feel good, you know. But us Aussies just seem to have something that's deep down in the depths of our guts that just has to say it as it is. Just got to say it as it is. And some people have felt that that's gone back to us being a nation of knockers and all this sort of stuff. No, that's part of our heritage. We just don't swallow everything that's spoken into our ears. We just don't believe every report. I mean, some people do. But there is a whole generation across our land today that don't just believe it because somebody has said it. What we really believe today is because God, by His Spirit, has birthed into our spirit what He says about our heritage. And you know, there's something incredible. I look at you young people, and you're probably going to get married one day and have kids. And some of us have got grandkids. You know, there is something awesome when you become a grandfather like I am. There's something awesome when you look at your grandkids and you see your grandkids far more on fire for Jesus as 17-year-olds than I ever could have been as a 21-year-old. I mean, there is a generation of young people who really believe today they can take our land. Well, I don't know where they're going to take it, but they believe it. It's sort of like we're going to take the land for Jesus. Now, not too many years back, we had a group of people come from the United States and because we were there, and they came with, you know, their families and young people, and they came through from young kids up until, you know, senior teenagers, and they came and they preached and they testified and they sang and they did dramas. And do you know, we couldn't find anyone in our churches in those days for any kids, young people like that, to do that in Australia. All of our young people were sort of bruised. Hope was gone. Mum and Dad had put them down so much through the years that sort of children should be seen and not heard. And the Americans come over here and they have a positive sort of thing, and they sort of really believe in their kids. They would really affirm their kids. We thought it was a big show, but they really believe something about their kids. And in the last 10 years, perhaps 15 years, there has been an incredible change in our land. And I want you to sort of perceive something about that change. The change in our land has to do with young people in our nation. Greatly influenced, I guess, by Hillsong and Planet Shakers and some of those things, but other sort of influences as well. There has been such a turn. And it can be explained no other than a Holy Ghost turn in the hearts of young people who absolutely have a passion and a zeal for Jesus. They don't care what it's going to cost. They don't care that they're going to have to live their life and keep themselves pure as virgins and not live like everybody else. They're not going to sleep around. They're absolutely sold out for Jesus. It wasn't that way when I was a young person. But there is a generation of young people. Now, not all young people are like that, hey? I don't know your life, you know your life. I don't know your life, you know it. But we've got a heritage. A heritage. I said, we've got a heritage from God. And that heritage goes from this generation to the next generation. And if we are faithful with our generation, the next generation will become even more powerful in the things of God, in the things of His Spirit. If we are faithful with the little that He gives to us, then who knows where it's going to go in the inheritance of our land, this great south land of the Holy Spirit. We can no longer afford to live for the moment. We've got to see there's a big picture, and the big picture is an eternity, a destiny And it has to do with a nation. It has to do with this little bit of earth that's the biggest island in the world and the smallest continent, called Australia. I still call Australia home. I love this country. I don't know about you. I love this land. There's no place on earth like this land. Of course, everyone says that about their home. And that's the key. This is my home. This is my land. This is your home. This is your land. God's given it to you. He's given it to me. And we sort of, you know, we pity party and poop ourselves all about the fact that we might have to give a tithe. Johnny Howard takes more than 10%. We've got something to sow. And it's not given out of me. It's giving into something. It's giving into an inheritance. It's giving into a heritage. It's giving into the generations to come. Do you know, there is a vision for this church. We hold a vision. It's a vision dear in the leadership of this church. It's a vision for a church of 2,000 people. And we believe that we'll see that. And God's going to release a great vision, great thing. Why? So that we can have 2,000 bums sitting on seats? So that we can have a great big thing that we can strut around about and say, hey, what a great church we've got. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with sowing up for the generations. It's got to sowing into the heritage of the Lord. It's got to do with the fact that we want to see the next generation far more fruitful than what we can ever be. We want to see our young people absolutely filled with the zeal and the fire of God, taking our land, taking it to a new level of the kingdom come. I want to see young people walking down the streets of our land, healing the sick on the streets, casting devils out as they walk down the street. I've seen it in Brazil. I've seen young children, 8, 10 years of age, moving out of meetings, standing on little soapboxes, and they would preach as they opened their mouths, and people on the other side of the street fell down under the power of God and got saved. I've seen young children who've had their feet broken and they were crippled and they begged on the streets of Brazil. And I've seen the power of God as I've been preaching in those services, and it had nothing to do with me, but it was God. And their legs would just snap into place and they would jerk and they would jump up, and all of a sudden they would fall on their faces and weep and weep and weep under the power of God. I tell you, I believe we're going to see that in our land. We're going to see that with a new generation. We're going to see that as the heritage of the Lord is established. As people really believe in their heart of hearts that this is what it's all about. It's not about me getting a blessing. It's got to do with me being part of a picture that is the family of God, the kingdom of God, and His plan and what He's doing. How incredibly exciting is that? Let me just read a couple of things to you while we've got a bit of time. Haven't done half of what we're going to do, but let me just sort of... Few Christians know anything about this nation's rich Christian heritage. That's really an amazing thing. They don't know that many of our early explorers, pioneers, politicians were men and women of God. It is largely unknown that Captain James Cook, Captain Charles Sturt, Edward John Eyre, Flynn of the Inland, and many others were totally committed Christians. May not have been the sort of Christians that we see today, but totally committed in their belief to God. Most people don't realise what the incredible heritage we have. You know, on what is it, the 15th, isn't it today? 14th. 14th of March. In 1606 of May. Yeah. Didn't I say that? In 1606, it was the day of Pentecost on that particular Sunday. And it was a Sunday. And this man, Pedro Fernandez de Quiros, discovered Vanuatu, believing that that island was on the top tip of Australia, of the great southern continent. And he called it Australia del Espiritu Santo. In his memorial published in 1610, the name Australia Incognita appeared on the title page, and in 1612 the Dutch cartographer Hessel Gerrits published a book containing a Dutch translation of de Quiros's memorial, which rendered it as Australia Incognita, the earliest printed use of the word Australia. 1606. 400 years to this day. Today, God put a heritage in our land for you and for me to see it, to understand it. Can you understand? You know, if we've got an Australia Day, it should be today. A spiritual heritage day. Not only that, it was believed that an inland sea separated the eastern and western side of this continent. Matthew Flinders, in his voyage to Terra Australis in 1814, wrote this. This is Flinders. He said this: had I permitted myself any innovation upon the original term Terra Australis, it would have been to convert it into Australia. And in April 1817, Governor Macquarie used the word Australia officially in his correspondence, thereby giving it viceregal approval. Terra Australis, Australia. Incredible. The Dutch explorer William Jans is reported to be the first European to have set foot on Australia's soil in 1606. Same year. 400 years ago. He sailed here in a ship from New Guinea called Little Dove. Hey! You know, the Dutch name, I can't really pronounce it, it's Doifkin. It means little dove, translated little dove. Do you know what happened when there was a great flood across the earth? A little dove was sent out and eventually came back with a branch in its beak. In 1606, 400 years ago, when this nation was called the Great Southland of the Holy Spirit, another explorer came to our shores in a boat called the Little Dove. And not only that, he was a Christian. Amazing. Their purpose was to carry the Bible to these lands. This is borne out in a letter from a Spanish diplomat to King Philip III. And this is a quote: that no time be lost in discovering that Australia region so far unknown, so these people may have knowledge of the gospel and be brought into spiritual obedience. De Quirus gave this continent its name, and that is what we are experiencing today. We're here today. I don't know whether this excites you. This should excite you. This should excite us. This should excite us that God's interested in us as a nation. We're a blessed land. There is something about Australia. Will you step into it? Will you step out of? Listen, will you step out of the selfishness of self-centeredness? The selfishness of our little lives? Try and somehow to survive and be profitable and have something about us that's going to secure us. Will you step out of the comfort of that? Will you step into the heritage of the Lord? Will you rise up and will you say, Jesus, I want your kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven? Will you be a person who sees that we don't have to try to get God to do anything? He's already done it. You and I can't be more blessed than we've already been blessed. Because the Bible says we have been blessed far more abundantly beyond anything we could hope or dream. And we live in a blessed country. And God's given us resources. And the resources he's given to us are more than money. More than the fact that we have a lot of wealth about us. He's given us a resource in the Spirit. He's given us a resource of who he is. He's given us the resource of the Holy Ghost. He's prophetically named us for a last day's move. Will you be in it? Will you be in it? Will you be in it? That's the key. Will you be in it? Are you prepared to say, no, I don't want to live a small, selfish little life, introspected. I want to be a person who lives bigger than myself. I want to embrace the heritage of the Lord. I want to see God's kingdom come in the power of his Spirit into this nation. that we might see the thousands upon thousands won into the kingdom of God. Because I tell you, the only reward that we receive in heaven is the reward of souls saved. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Jesus has not come back yet because he's still seeking and saving the lost. And when his family's fulfilled and complete, then he comes. Not a moment before, not a moment too late. Then he comes. I want to sort of give us some sort of sense of reality right now. Right now, you're not conscious about having to make your heart beat. You're not sitting there racking your brain sort of saying, now beat heart, boom, 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 boom. You're not doing that. Neither are you sitting there and using your brain and the powers that you've got saying, now lungs, breathe. You don't have to do that. It just happens. God's given you an incredible gift of life. You don't have to make your heart beat. You don't have to make your lungs breathe. God says that he's sustaining you by the word of his power. Your life is happening because of God right now. If he removed himself out of this creation, it would fly into zillions of fragments. We would cease to exist if he removed himself right now. So you don't have to think about it. But no matter what you do, right now, day and night, work and play, your heart's beating. It's beating. You can do whatever you want with your life, and your heart will keep beating. You've got a heritage. You can enter into it, or you can turn away from it. How far off is eternity? How far off is heaven? How far off is hell? Just one heartbeat. We are fragile beings. We are fragile people. God's made us that way so that we desperately need him. He sustains us. He keeps us going. And he's given us his spirit. You've got a choice to make tonight. Every one of us. Do you want to see our land reach for God? Yes. Enter into the inheritance and the heritage that we have? Yes. Then how about it, young people? How about it, older people? How about it, brothers and sisters? How about we see a bigger picture? I don't know where you stand tonight. I don't know whether or not you've ever really experienced God's great gift of forgiveness. His great gift of the Holy Spirit. I don't know whether you've ever experienced the great gift of God's forgiveness. I don't know whether you've ever stepped out of the littleness of your own life and the selfish littleness that we experience when we're separated from God into the big picture of who God is and his love. But you can tonight. You can tonight. And every one of us who love Jesus tonight, you can step out of that little picture into the big picture of who he is. You say to me, well, that's okay for some people, but I'm just ordinary Joe, Mary. You know, I just go to work and, you know, I've got my profession, I've got my job, I've got that, and all I can really do is put a couple of bucks on the plate and help out when we have a soul cafe or do this or do that or whatever it may be. But I want to tell you all something tonight. There is a bigger picture. It's the heritage of the Lord. It's the heritage of God. And he's given you an area of influence where you work, where you study, where you live your life. He's given you an area of influence with people that none of the rest of us have. You have it. And you're the heritage of the Lord where you live and where you live your life. Will you step into the big picture? Will you dare to believe that he has sown a heritage into you and he's going to release power by his Spirit through you to fulfill his promise of destiny to our land? Nobody might ever recognize you. I'm going to leave you with one really simple story, and then we're going to pray. We were at a conference. I think Ken was there. Margaret was there. We were at a church conference a number of years back. And there were some young Papua New Guinean pastors at that conference. One of the men who was leading the conference asked if one of the small Papuan Christian pastors would share his story. And just with shyness, he shook his head. And so the pastor then, who was leading that conference, said, "Do you mind if I tell the story?" And he nodded. He would not stand and take any glory or credit. And the story really quickly was that one day he was praying, and God said that he was to go to a particular part of the highlands of New Guinea. He just took his Bible, and the Lord said to him, he gave an impression, "I will show you where to go." And he started walking. He walked for 3 days. Do I have it right? 3 days. He never slept in those 3 days, because while he was walking for those 3 days, he carried his Bible on his head and he was walking through swamps, crocodile and poisonous shark, snake infested swamps. And as he walked, the Lord would say, "Go up here, up this estuary, go up there." And he walked and he walked through all the waters, and he had no idea he was going to be drowned or be eaten or whatever. He had to really trust God. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. And when he got up to a certain place, he came to this row of longhouses. And when he came to that row of longhouses, there was a great dirge happening. And he saw that there was a funeral pyre there. And there was a great big mound of sticks and all that sort of stuff. And there was a little boy had died. And it was the chief's son. And he was being, just, they were just going to light the fires for him to be burned, to bury him. He'd been dead for several days. And the witch doctors had been doing their incantations and all the stuff around this young boy. And the Lord spoke to this young Papuan pastor, and he said, "Tell them I am the resurrection and the life. They'd never heard of Jesus. And it's a funeral. And the witch doctors are there. And they're powerful men. And this young guy who had walked for 3 days, exhausted, being led by God to this place that nobody had been there before, and he stood up, he walked out of the waters, and he yelled out at the top of his voice, 'Jesus,' in his Papuan dialect, but language, he said, 'Jesus is the resurrection and the life.' And the chief became angry, and the witch doctor became angry. And they started to come towards him that he had disrupted with disrespect this whole thing, until the Lord said, 'Raise him up.' And all he knew to do was that Paul did that. You know, different. And so he ran up the funeral pyre. He ran up the pile of wood. And he threw himself on the body. And Jesus brought this boy back to life. Raised him from the dead. Raised him from the dead. The whole village got saved. The whole village got saved. Not only that, that young man, early 20s, had no Bible training, was trying to pastor a small group of people. That same young man had raised how many people from the dead? Can that happen here? That's our heritage. Let's pray. Father, tonight we come before you and we say, Lord, we thank you for our heritage. This is the Southland, the great Southland of the Holy Spirit. This is our land. This is our future. This is our heritage. You've reserved us, Lord. You've sown through the generations to raise up this generation now so that we can sow into the generations. And God, I pray that we as young people, as middle-aged people, as old people, that we'd step to the mark, step out of the littleness of our selfish pursuits and say, here I am, Jesus. I want you. I want to step into my spiritual birthright, to my heritage. And if you're here tonight and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you need to pray this prayer with me. Some others might pray it out loud as a recommitment to the Lord. You might pray it out loud just simply to say to Jesus, I'm going to step out of the littleness of my selfishness into the bigness of your heritage. Jesus, forgive me, for I am a sinner. Come into my life. Give me the gift of the Holy Spirit. Save me completely. Change me. I want to enter in to the heritage of the Lord. I want to take my rightful place in the heritage of this nation. I want to sow into the generations to come that, God, you can do what you've promised you'd do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, this sets us on a great adventure, folks. Hey, this sets us on an incredibly great adventure. And I'm not just trying to psych you up. I really believe this. I believe it with the whole of my being. I live for this. And this is what we all should live for. Well, have a great week this week. You're going to go home tonight. When you get home, probably watch the footy at 9 o'clock. If you didn't watch it already, whatever you're going to do, movie, go out and have some food, go and have some food and some drink. I wonder what you're going to do. Get alone by yourself sometime tonight. Get alone by yourself sometime tonight, somewhere. Just you and God, just you and Jesus. And say, Lord, I want to step out of the littleness of myself into the bigness of your heritage. Lord bless you. Have a great week.